Attention women's wrestling fans and wrestling collectors. Ring Post Journal's 2021 Women's Wrestling Year in Review is now available worldwide on Amazon. This year's book includes an industry news timeline, event results from all around the globe, the top 10 stories of the year, win-loss records, and comprehensive statistic-based wrestler rankings for WWE, AEW, Impact Wrestling, Wrestling, NWA, and Ring of Honor. All of this plus a one-on-one interview with Maria Canales Bennett as she explains the process behind rebuilding Ring of Honor's women's division. A portion of the proceeds will also be donated to a mental health organization in honor of the late Daphne. Happy reading, and author Colby Applegate thanks you for your continued support. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 239 of a Wrestling Gal podcast, providing you with the female perspective on all things wrestling. Join me, your host and wrestling enthusiast, Ella J., as today I am joined by your EWA Women's Champion, Kyla Knight. Now let's chat. Hello, everybody. Today I am joined by your EWA Women's Champion, Kyla Knight. So how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic to be speaking with you all the way across the world. We got Australia, we got the United States. I'm super excited to chat with you today. And I must say, like, your journey in wrestling began like almost 6 years ago now, coming up in July, and you've done quite a lot of impressive things in your tenure thus far. So within the last year or two, maybe, what are a few things that you are personally or professionally proud of?
I think taking that leap to go and train at Flatbacks on my own, that was scary.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a minute. That was insane.
But personally, I think it's just getting that courage to move on. So finding like that new footing in a way, because I signed up and started training with a new place, and they really gave me like a new outlook on my future with wrestling. Yeah.
And you have certainly a bright future. So I mean, before we talk about Flatbacks, honestly, especially like through the pandemic in Australia and like the world, honestly, what do you think kept you motivated to keep pursuing this dream of wrestling throughout the pandemic?
Personally, okay, honestly, I think out of spite. I've had a lot of people just kind of, you know, put their finger in my face telling me, you can't do this, you can't do that, and, you know, you won't be able to make it, blah, blah, blah. But I think just wanting to prove them wrong has just been like a really big driving point for me.
And you've been doing a lot of things to prove them wrong. I mean, you are the first and current EWA Women's Champion. So that itself is something super special. And of course, not a lot of people in Australia can say that they've gone to America, I feel like. So like, you are certainly dedicated to bettering your craft. And so really, what made you decide to take that leap and travel to America to train at Flatbacks with Sean Spears and Tyler Breeze?
Okay, so I trained with a couple of boys that went and trained at Black and Brave, Seth Rollins. And I saw how they came back and how much they improved. And I thought, if they can do it, why can't I? So one night I was scrolling through Instagram, and then I saw Breeze post about Flatbacks, and I was like, all right, I'll apply. If he says no, no big deal. And then, yeah. But I think choosing Flatbacks in its own was just my way to create my own journey, my own path, instead of following the boys who Black and Brave. I just, you know, wanted to make my own connections elsewhere.
Especially too, and I mean, you're training with like two very, I think, prominent people in pro wrestling, Sean Spears and Tyler Breeze, and of course other people too at Flatbacks. But I feel like you're a part of really an elite school, and it's ironic. I have a friend training at Flatbacks this upcoming summer, so it's like it sounds like a really, really good school. So I mean, what are a few things then that you really grasped or learned from your experience at Flatbacks in Florida?
That it's okay to make a fool of yourself. Like, you don't need to be so serious. You can just let go, have fun, be in the moment. No need to stress about the little imperfections that happen along the way. It's all a learning curve.
Especially too, and going in, obviously you had a few years of experience under your wing, but would you say there was really a drastic difference from, I don't know, maybe your moveset, your mentality going into Flatbacks versus when you came out?
Oh, definitely. Going in and being consistent with training and, you know, getting consistent feedback and advice and shown different ways of like learning to do things. It was just, I felt more confident in my ability. Whereas when I was just training here, it was just very stagnant. But yeah, I feel like I have improved a lot since training over there.
I mean, definitely too. Now, was this, what month of the year was this in August? Was this after the pandemic had started or was it prior to it?
It was just as the pandemic was starting.
Oh my God.
So it was bumpy. I forgot what I was saying. I'm sorry.
There were setbacks like with delays. Yeah. And I know your flight got canceled or almost got canceled or something on the way back.
My original flight home got canceled. So that was a nightmare in itself to try and sort out.
Yeah, especially to basically on the brink, on the cusp of this pandemic and the world just shutting down. I'm glad you made it home. I mean, it would have been a whole other thing to be trapped in I guess trapped is the right word, stuck in a country that's not yours. And I mean, it's one thing to prepare for like a month or how 8 weeks normally, I think their seminars are for 8 weeks, but to prepare potentially longer is a scary thing.
Yeah, I only had enough funds for like my 3 month stay there. And then I thought everything was all set. I thought, yes, okay, I'll be able to sneak home. But then it's like, I get that email, sorry, your flight's been canceled. I'm like, oh, okay, I need help from home to get home.
Oh my God. Well, I'm glad that you made it home back okay to Australia. And I mean, besides training though, I mean, during that 3 months here in America, did you have any other cool experiences during your time here in the USA? Like traveling or, I mean, no, you're probably mainly training, but I'm sure you had to have some free time.
Before I started training, I went and visited my friends. So I got a couple of friends in Oregon that I spent a weekend with, and then spent a weekend in Minnesota, checked out snow there, which is fun.
Now, Australia doesn't normally have snow, correct?
Correct. So I'm on the Gold Coast and it's Queensland's known as the Sunshine State. So it's very, very hot summer days.
So was that your first experience with snow?
It was, yeah.
Yes. Okay. So tell me more about, see, I'm from upstate New York where we get plenty, plenty of snow. So what was your first experience with snow? Like, I'm very curious to hear it from somebody who had never experienced snow before.
Very cold and wet.
Yeah. Now, would you say you prefer, or not, maybe not prefer, but did you enjoy it? Or do you, now that you've returned back home, do you kind of prefer the sunshine?
I think I'm going to be biased and say I prefer the sunshine.
That's fair. I feel like unless you're used to it, maybe like myself, we have like an appreciation for it, but you got to experience it at least, right?
Yeah.
I'm very curious too. I mean, you're in Oregon, you were in Minnesota and Florida, correct?
Yes.
Primarily. So would you say that there was like a noticeable or shocking difference between the culture, the food, or the people between Australia and the USA?
Maybe the food, like I was actually surprised with how much bigger the food proportions were compared
really?
To here. Yeah.
Can you give me an example? Because I'm genuinely curious.
So I remember getting Burger King and just like a Whopper meal. and the burger was like the size of my hand. I was like, whoa, what? Whereas back home, it's like half the size of that, even in a large meal.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So did you try any new food? I don't know if there's like new foods to you. Did you experience any new foods or foods that you weren't accustomed to while here?
I tried a lot of the fast food places, admittedly. Like I tried Popeyes. I wasn't too keen on that.
Oh girl, you're gonna I'm kidding, but Popeyes is like a big thing here with their chicken. People go crazy for Popeyes here, honestly.
I remember seeing about that on like the socials.
Yeah, like a couple years ago, like I forget what they released, but like they were literally sold out for weeks to months because people just kept buying them out. It was wild.
It seemed like it.
It really was though. So I mean, you got to experience new food, new land, and I mean that wasn't the only time that you had traveled to train. So can you tell me more about your opportunity to train and meet with Chavo Guerrero as well?
Oh, so Chavo is on set helping film season 2 of Young Rock. Currently like in my city. And my promoter, who actually got casted as a referee, an extra in the show, managed to book Chavo for a training seminar on our show. And it was just, I fangirled.
It's okay. I've done that too before.
So it's like they announced it and they're like, oh yeah, Chavo is going to be on the show. And I turned to my friend, Charlie D, and I was like, I trained with Sean Spears and Tyler Breeze. I've met Billy Gunn and Brody Lee and all that. Why am I so like surprised? So like, why am I fangirling over Chavo? And then he turns to me, he's like, because it's Chavo Guerrero. I was like, yeah.
But you wrote to, I mean, like 12-year-old you would like, wouldn't believe it. Right. So clearly you were a fan. It's one of those cool full circle moments.
Yeah, it was. No, meeting him was a really great experience. He had a lot of time for us young ones and he, you know, answered every question that we threw his way. He gave us advice. He worked with us and it was definitely a great experience.
Do you remember a question, if you did ask a question, do you remember a question that you asked him?
I do. It was, who would you suggest to match study? Because, you know, if I'm not working it or training wrestling, I'm watching it. And his response was, watch as many people as you possibly can on what to do and what not to do.
So from that, have you been studying or watching wrestling material? And if so, who have you been watching?
I watch a lot of Bryan Danielson and Dynamite Kid.
I know you've gotten to see Danielson wrestle before in Brisbane a couple years ago. He is phenomenal in person and honestly amazing. Like has worldly experience and for like over 20 years now. So I feel like he's definitely just one that a lot of people should be watching.
Yeah, definitely. It was
go ahead.
So cool watching him live. He versed at the time Luke Harper. So it was like a WWE live event back in 2019 before I went and trained at Flatbacks. And I just remember sitting with my brother and like, if he puts on the yes lock, I'm going to mark out. And then my brother's like, okay, Kyla, okay.
And did he put on the yes lock?
He did. And then I just completely lost it. I'm like, he did it. Oh my God.
Especially too, because I don't think like, well, I mean, in recent years, WWE hasn't been. Oh yeah, that was the year. Yeah, 2019, 2018, 2019. They did a couple, but I feel like that, especially too, where they don't travel a lot to Australia. I feel like once they are there, it makes you appreciate it even more because we get them maybe 3 times a year, and maybe Australia gets them maybe once every 5 years, I would say, something like that. So definitely feel like makes you appreciate it better too.
Definitely, yeah.
Especially too. So I'm curious too. Obviously, you're a fan of Chavo, fan of Daniel Bryan. I know you're a fan of Chris Jericho as well. I've also attended Fozzy. So I'd want to hear your, I saw them in 2017. I want to hear your experience with Fozzy.
Okay, so I saw them November 2018. I got the VIP tickets, so I got to be a part.
It
was such a cool experience. So obviously with the VIP, you get to have like a private session, like the band plays privately, and then they do autograph signings and then the photos. I don't know why, but the night before, I decided to write Chris Jericho a letter, you know, just to thank him for being, you know, a constant in my life with wrestling and music. And then I go up to him, and I was like, absolutely starstruck. I'm like, oh, I forgot. I had a lot of things I wanted to say to you, but I just forgot. So I wrote you this letter. And he looks at me, looks at the letter, and he's like, well, luckily you came prepared for the letter. And pulls me into a hug, signs my little pop vinyl, and then we go for the photos. Later on that night, I got to go on stage for Burn Me Out.
Okay, girl.
Yeah. And so I'm in the background there getting hyped up. And then a break in the song, he turns to me, pulls me into a hug, and he's like, I read your letter. And I was like, you read my letter. And then it was just, yeah, it was a great night. And then at the end, I don't know why I stuck around, but I did. Like, a lot of people's gone home, the band's just packing down, and then Chris walks out. I'm not gonna lie, I was a little tipsy. So he walks out, and I'm just staring at him like, this is my last chance to ever talk to him. Bye, Chris. And he turns to me and he's like, hey, did you enjoy the concert? I'm like, yeah. He gets in the van and I'm standing next to security. We're still having this conversation, and he's like, oh, just come here, come talk to me. I'm like, I don't want to overstep my boundary. And security's like, if Jericho's telling you to go, go to him. And so I got to have like a little heart-to-heart chat with him. Yeah.
I love that. I got the VIP experience too, where you had the pre-concert like session and it was cool. And then you got to take photos and get stuff signed. But yeah, that's awesome. You had like multiple opportunities, and glad, aren't you glad you came prepared with that letter? I've had moments that like that too, where I just could not speak in front of certain people. And it's just like, ah. So, I mean, that's awesome though. I feel like not a lot of people get to meet their idols. I mean, just in life in general too. But I mean, for pro wrestling, obviously Chris Jericho is one for you, but who were some of the other people in pro wrestling that you think initially captivated you when you were first watching it?
Shawn Michaels and Lita.
Girl, you just named two of my favorite people.
I'm not gonna lie, I did have Shawn Michaels' Heartbreak logo tattooed on my wrist. But as I started to get more recognized in a way, I thought, well, I better cover it up.
So what is it now?
It's this gothic, I can't really see it, half sleeve, like a castle and a crow overlooking it, and yeah.
I love that. Like, Sean's my favorite of all time, like above everybody. So I completely understand that. Like, he just has like an aura about him, and like, he's great. Very versatile. He's great. I'm curious too. I'm glad you brought up tattoos, because I was really curious too. Like, you have this beautiful script tattoo, like on your chest or collarbone. So what exactly does it say? Like, what is the quote or wording of it?
So, it's actually a poem in my nan's handwriting that she wrote for me. So, and it reads, remembering you is easy, we do it every day, but missing you is heartache that never goes away. And she passed away in 2019, and I got that done about 3 months after her passing.
I love it. I really, really do. I mean, you have a few tattoos on you too. So do you maybe have any plans or visions for your next tattoo?
I don't really know, actually. I just kind of get in the mood and we're like, I think I want another tattoo now. And then, yeah.
Fair.
Actually, I do have one. That's a lie. I do want to get the Archangel Michael tattooed eventually.
Is there a reasoning behind that one? I know it's very symbolic to a lot of people, but for you, like, what makes you drawn to it?
Just growing up religious and seeing, like, Michael as, like, this protector. And I just think it'd be more of a comfort thing because I have been through some bumps to feel protected, I guess.
Yeah, too. No, I mean, it's very like personal for you. And I feel like that's going to be a good like reminder, something that you love. And like, it's an expression. So it fits, I feel like.
Yeah.
Definitely too. I mean, we were talking about earlier too. I mean, you've done a lot in your 5 year plus journey now, coming up on 6 in a few months. With your character though, can you tell me more about where this God complex of yours came from, or what's making you ride that?
Honestly, I don't know. Like some days I'm kind of just like, yeah, it is what it is. I'm all right. And the other days it's like, no, I trained at Flatbacks. I was the first Australian to train there. I did this. I accomplished this. I'm better kind of mentality, like tends to fluctuate in and out a lot. So it's like, may as well just run with it, I guess.
We definitely, like, there's moments where I'm like feeling on top of the world, maybe very similarly. And then there's other moments where I'm like, the self-doubt just creeps in. I feel like that I can definitely attest to that though, but I don't like, there's nobody really, I think, like honing in on like that God complex. I don't know if you're making it a moniker or anything, but I don't see a lot of, I don't think anybody really has it, like has a nickname or anything like that. I don't know.
I mean, I try and use it to combat the occasional imposter syndrome that I feel quite often. So it's like, nah, time to develop this God complex.
Yeah, well, you definitely deserve. You have worked your butt off. Like you said, you were the first Australian to travel to Flatbacks. I mean, like I said, not a lot of people outside of the country travel to America to train, or really travel to a whole nother country to train. So that's definitely something to be so proud of too. And along your journey too, can you tell me more about when you maybe lost a tooth during one of your matches?
Okay, I say that as a joke, but okay. I didn't actually lose it during a match. It was just this botched dental thing that happened. I tend to joke about saying how, oh yeah, I lost it in a match with a dentist, but legal reasons, obviously, that's a joke.
Okay.
But yeah, I had braces for a while, and then my left canine, for some reason, they decided to put it up in the gum to try and pull it back down, and it fused in place, so I had to get it surgically removed, and I end up having braces instead of for 3 years for 7.
Holy shit. Yeah. I thought I had it for about 2.5, almost 3 years. I can't imagine 7 years.
It was a nightmare. Like, I trained with them. I was probably about 20 by the time I got them off.
Did you have to wear a mouth guard at all?
I probably should have, but I didn't.
You're just fearless then. Oh my God. It was such a struggle. Like, I had them, like I said, for about 2.5, almost 3 years. It was a big struggle. I honestly could not imagine 7 years, but it was probably a big relief when you finally got them off.
Oh, definitely.
Oh my God. Was it painful? Like with the canine? Like was it painful when the canine tooth, when they had to put it back up into your gums, or?
No, sorry. They had me out under anesthesia and they did it. But then, you know, they're like, oh, we can't take these braces off unless we get the tooth out. And I had to make that decision to get it taken out.
Fair enough. I mean, and then ultimately, but I mean, yeah, 7 years is a long time, girl. Kudos to you. Cause I could not, I thought 3 years was a lot. I can't imagine 7, but I mean, so I don't know. So obviously that didn't happen in a match or whatever, but is there any match stipulation that you would maybe like to tackle that you haven't yet? I do know at the time of recording this, you have a death match down under coming up very shortly, but maybe it's that, but what are some match stipulations that you'd like to conquer sometime?
Funny that you mentioned death match, because I would like to go for like a hardcore death match one day.
Now, what would be your weapon of choice?
Oh, baseball bat.
Why? I'm very curious.
Negan from The Walking Dead.
Fair. A baseball bat. I mean, they're very powerful, though. This shit, not that I mean, I've played softball before, but like,
so did I.
Cool. That's very cool. I don't know if there's like a difference between Australian and US, but like what position did you play?
I was pitcher.
Pitcher. I was a pitcher for a few years too. I did everything except catcher. I think I played for 11 years, did everything except catch, pretty much. Good stuff. Good stuff. I like you, Kyla. Good stuff.
Thank you.
And of course, lastly, I mean, like we said, you have done so much in your journey so far, but what are some of your personal or professional goals that you'd like to accomplish maybe this year or next? I mean, barring any outlandish travel restrictions or something.
I think maybe just try and get noticed in the States, overseas. It's wrestle over there.
You already have some experience in Florida. Do you have your eyes on any certain area or competitor within the States should you return here?
I do see her part like pop up on my Twitter often, and maybe Amaris Blair.
Oh, Amaris Blair is around, yes, like Louisiana and Texas. See, she just made her debut last year, actually. She's only like a year under since making her pro debut. So, and I feel like you two are like very opposite character wise, but it'd be very intriguing.
Yeah. I think I'm just saying that to be biased because we have a mutual friend.
Okay, fair. Fair enough. Yeah. So before I let you go, can you please tell the listeners where they can find you on all your social medias?
Okay. Both my Twitter and Instagram are at Kyla Knight GC.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Kyla. And also, you have some t-shirts available for sale, correct?
Yes. They are online at What a Maneuver for, I believe, $30.
The design is honestly really, really dope. I must say there's a lot of wrestling t-shirts out there, but I really, really love the design. I know they just got released last month and they're honestly amazing.
Thank you. I actually tried to design it so that way it looked like a band t-shirt.
I can definitely see that. Maybe that's why I'm drawn to it too and have an appreciation for it. Like there's like, when you see a good shirt, you see a good shirt. That's a great shirt. I love it.
Thank you.
I really
all
do.
All credit goes to Redneck Kung Fu though.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, Amazing. So, well, Kyla, thank you so much for joining me today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. I had so much fun.
It was such an honor, honestly, to talk all across the world. And maybe you'll make your return soon here to the States. Who knows? Hopefully you do, because you're doing some amazing things.
Thank you. He is hurting.